Praise the Lord for his goodness, for his grace, for this time of worship. For tonight's sermon in English, I'd like you to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, and we'll be reading verse 10 and 11. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Amen. This week, California has voted yes to Proposition 1, meaning Proposition 1 amends the California State Constitution to explicitly prohibit interference with individual choices on reproductive health. Meaning, it's not my business and not your business to get involved in the decision that a mother wants to make regarding her unborn child. If she wants to get rid of it, then we are not to interfere. And 65% of the voters in California voted yes. Voted yes. 35% voted no. You know how many millions of dollars have been approved for funding for abortion this year alone in California? $200 million. And $20 million extra for travel expenses. So if a woman wants to abort her child, she doesn't need to pay, not even the travel expense. So it's all free. You know how many Christians live in, how many percentage of Christians live in California? 62% of people say they're Christians in California. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at the numbers, I realize that something's wrong. I realize that something's truly off. And for that reason, I say to you tonight, church and everyone who's listening, it's time to wake up. And the title of my message tonight is going to be, Wake Up. There's no time to lose. Wake up. There's no time to lose. There's two reasons why people need to wake up. And then we'll look at another three why there is no time to lose. First reason why people need to wake up. And it's also a reason why Christianity is so extremely ineffective in contemporary society is because of apostasy. What does apostasy mean? It's the renunciation to religious belief. Matthew 24:10, and many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. This is what Jesus talked about, and this is what we see happening more and more in our churches in California, in the United States, the country that once used to be the greatest blessing for the entire world. Missionaries went everywhere from the States, and now sin is rampant at our doors, in our country, in our state, and everywhere around us. Why? Demas fell in love with this present world and has deserted me. People have fallen in love with the present world, with what the world has to offer, with the pleasures of the sinful nature, with material possessions, people fell in love, and they have deserted Christ. They have deserted the true Christian faith. And so it's time to wake up. It's time for the Romanian church in the United States to wake up. How many of you plan to move back to Romania at a certain point? Let's see, do we have anyone here? Yes, you're moving back, you're traveling back. Okay, all right. So there is maybe two families out of, I'd say at least maybe 40, 50 here. And if I would ask the same question on a Sunday morning, I think we would see how little families would move back. That means that it's time for the Romanian church to get out of its bubble. And if the United States has been such a great blessing for the Romanians, it's time for the Romanians to be a blessing for the United States. Amen? May God help us. May God help us. Second reason why we need to wake up is because of deception. Deception. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. You say, I am rich and well off. I have all I need, but you do not know how miserable and pitiful you are. You are poor, naked, and blind. I want to look at this aspect from two perspectives. And I'd like to start with the first one. And we heard Fratele Lazar speak so well about the first aspect tonight, the material aspect. You are rich. I think it is time for the Christian communities, for the churches to understand that being rich is not equal or immediately equal to be blessed. You see, contemporary society sees being rich, being successful, as one of its greatest virtues. If you want to do something in life, then you better become successful. If you want to do something in life, then you better become rich. People want to inoculate that into our minds. And I don't know how much we realize it, but we very often fall for that ideology. But it doesn't necessarily mean. It can be. What happens? And how do you become rich? The pathway of you becoming rich and what you do after you have become rich tells a lot about the fact if you're blessed or maybe cursed. Because what you do with the things that God gave you will determine if you're a blessed man or not. You know, sometimes I like to compare, I don't know if you like the analogy or not, but I like to compare money to fire. You see, with fire can be something so helpful, something so good. It can protect your family. It can help you survive in a cold winter's night. It can help the people around you survive. But it can also kill so many people. And the same thing can happen with money. And money is just an example when we speak of material things. Another example would be the time. Now, I'm not speaking from a scientific stand of view, but time is one of the things that we also have. And it's one thing that we can use for God's glory or for our own good, for our own pleasure. Talents or intelligence. We have the passage in the Bible with Ahithophel and Hushai. One of them wanted to get David killed, the other one wanted to protect him. You can use your wisdom, you can use your intelligence for God's glory, or you can use it against it. Deception. From a spiritual point of view, we're deceived sometimes and we say we're rich. Have you seen the quality of our worship? Have you seen the quality of our sermons? Have you seen the quantity of our donations? Have you seen our reputation? And you say, well, what's wrong with that? It's sad that I turn on the radio when I drive my car and I hear a really good sermon. I hear great worship. Our Christian singers are so good, they're winning Grammys. They're competing against the singers of this world, and they're winning. That's how amazing the quality of our singers got. They're great. They're doing a good job. The sermons are amazing. People in the world are looking for the speeches that the pastors and preachers have in churches. Great oratory. But then you look in the world and you see a sinful world. You see a sinful church. You see Christians who are full of hatred, jealousy, envy, lust, immorality, discord, rage, greed, pride. So there is a huge disconnect between those great sermons, between that great worship, and the lives of the people. And I'm asking myself, what is missing? You know what's missing? It's the Holy Spirit that's missing. It's the Holy Spirit that transforms lives. The Holy Spirit that's present from Monday through Saturday and Sunday. Not just Sunday. It's the Holy Spirit that's missing. Acts 9:31. And so it was that the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had a time of peace. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, it was strengthened and it grew in numbers as it lived in reverence for the Lord. You might hear great sermons. You might hear great worship. If that does not lead to a transformed life, to a holy life, then for what? You know how sad it is to look at the life of a Christian who has walked in the church for his entire life and not see any change. Not see any change. But there is hope. There is hope because of what the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Such a beautiful passage. This passage gives me hope. You know why? Because I know that there is power in the Word of God. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And that power still transforms lives today. Amen. Now I know I'm speaking to, that's what I'm assuming. I'm speaking to a crowd tonight that's awake. I'm speaking to a crowd tonight that's awake. You got the memo from this morning. You're here. Sadly, most of the people didn't. But you got it, and I'm happy for you guys. We're awake, amen? Let's be awake. Let's be awake. Let's not fall into apathy. Let's not fall into apostasy. Let's not fall into deceit. Let's wake up. Let's be awake. Now, for you guys, there is no time to lose. There is no time to lose. And the first reason why is because true Christianity is more than what people say it is nowadays. It's more than what a lot of Christians think it is. Christianity, true Christianity, to follow Jesus Christ is more. C.S. Lewis was responding to a person who once said, you know, that I can believe in Jesus as a moral teacher, but I cannot believe in Jesus as Son of God. And look at the way C.S. Lewis responded to this. He said, that is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, and you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he did not intend to. Jesus Christ is not just a moral teacher. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, amen? So the Christian message, the gospel that Jesus Christ has left us, is a very radical message. It's a life-transforming message. It's not just a nice inspirational story that you take with you and you read it in the morning, you say, man, this made my day. It's something that transforms your life if you take it serious. And there is a passage that we read so often, we know it maybe by heart. And my question is, when is the day going to come when we're truly going to take this passage for what it is, for what it says? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and your own ambition. You cannot serve God and sinful pressure. You cannot serve God and gossip. You cannot serve God and pride. You cannot serve God and greed. You cannot serve God and envy. You cannot serve God and you fill out the blank. And the Holy Spirit will speak into your mind. And I know He always does. Think, you cannot serve God and what you're going through. I know that maybe when you're going to wake up tomorrow, because I know when we're in church, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we have a moment of conviction. Maybe it's during the time of worship. Maybe it's while you hear a sermon. And then Monday morning comes and you wake up and you're like, man, I don't know. I feel like I'm a really good Christian. I feel like I'm doing good. I mean, look at the people around me. Look at the way they're living their lives. I'm so devoted. I'm so devoted to God. I'm so devoted to this church. I'm so involved. I'm a good Christian. I don't know what was happening with Lucian last night. Maybe he was upset. I know he has three little kids. You know. Please do me a favor and... because I know the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Maybe He already spoke to you in this service. Don't listen to your subconscious tomorrow morning. Don't listen to your subconscious this week. Don't think you're such a great Christian. Just assume for once you're not a good one. Just assume for once that you could do way more for God's kingdom. Just assume that for once and try it out. Make that little step and see where it will lead you. And I think that God is able to work in miraculous ways, amen? The second reason why there is no time to lose. There is no time to lose, therefore, stop waiting for the magical moment. Stop waiting for the magical moment. Stop waiting for the road to Damascus if you're not a Christian yet. Stop waiting for the next wave of revival. If you're a Christian, just stop waiting for that perfect moment, for that phone call, for that vision statement, for that sign. Stop waiting for the right time. Stop waiting for the new leader, for the new pastor. Stop waiting. It is time to serve right now. You know why? Because you might be waiting for something. And what's sad is that a lot of people who wait, at a certain point in their life, sometimes they wait for a very long time, the one thing that they waited for happens. But then, after they start serving, there comes a huge storm. And with the first storm that comes, they're gone. They start doubting. They're like, man, I think that was not the right sign I was waiting for. I was waiting for this new leader, but this guy's no good either. I was waiting for that vision statement, but that vision statement doesn't even align with what I think. I was waiting, and you wait, and you wait. And then you start serving, and then with the first storm, you might give up. You know, Jesus was not a big fan of those people who keep waiting either when he calls them. When Jesus says, follow me, he doesn't like you to think, well, Lord, I'd follow you, but, you know, give me those 10 signs, please. What does Jesus say? Follow me in Luke 9. And one person says, no, no, let me go bury my father. No, let me go say goodbye to my family. Ezekiel chapter 22, 30. If there's not a lot of people who jump in when it comes to serve, there's not a lot of people who respond to Jesus to follow him. That's why in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, the word of God says, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. I found no one. This is really sad. It's sad because you see this happening so, so much. There is a lot of people who sometimes like to serve when there's not a gap. When there is an abundance of servants in a certain area, you have suddenly an abundance of people who would like to serve there. And then they get disappointment and say, man, why is he not using me? And then as soon as you start having a gap, they're all gone. Oh, so now since there's a gap, actually, you know what? I'm not really interested anymore. Now that we really need you, well, you know. And this, of course, can happen in churches, and it happens a lot in churches. And there's a lot of gaps to fill here at Emmanuel Church, and we heard this morning very well. But let's go beyond that. What about the gaps in your life? What about the gaps in your life? What do you do about the gaps in your life? What do you do about the gaps in your family? Because if you want to start standing in the gap for your church, you better start filling the gap in your own life. Because if you don't take care of the gaps in your own life, you cannot even serve your family. What can you say about the church? If you don't start filling the gaps in your life, if you don't start repenting, if you don't change your life, if you don't follow Jesus according to his word and search him from the bottom of your heart and ask him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not a blessing, if you don't fill the gaps in your family, you cannot fill the gaps in God's church. You cannot fill the gaps in his kingdom. Because now more and more of the youth I hear speaking about the greater church. We serve the greater church. They go already beyond the local. They already serve at a different level. And I'm happy for them. But let's start filling the gaps in our life. Fill the gaps in your family, fill the gaps in your church, and then fill your gaps in your community, in your country, and may God bless you to get as far as possible, because we need people like that. California needs people like that. Who wouldn't like a governor who believes in the scripture and who upholds the virtues of God and the values of God? That would be great. That would be awesome. May someone get there. Don't think you're going to become a Paul overnight. I know there is very rare cases when people have a dramatical, huge, life-transforming event happening, and they're totally different from one moment to another. And that can happen, but don't think that that's the rule. Don't think that that happens to every single person. Why would I say that? Why do I believe that? Well, just look at the disciples of Jesus Christ. They had the best possible teacher. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was walking with them for 3 years. And after 3 years, it almost seemed like it was all in vain. Everyone deserted him. And one of them for good, even betrayed him. And the others seemed like they're gone too. And Jesus, the Son of God, was praying for hours to his Father. Now, if I know that someone was praying and was listened to by his Father, it was Jesus Christ. And it seemed like it was in vain, right? They all deserted Jesus. But then they came back. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And they became a few of the greatest people who ever lived on this planet. It was a step-by-step transformation for them, not a one-day transformation. It took time for Peter to become who he was. It took time. And that's what happens very often in your life. Please, don't wait for the next wave of revival. May it come, and maybe you'll be a part of it. Amen. Amen. Okay, I guess you don't even want it that much. All right. Let it be happening this week in your life, in your family. No one stops it. Do you think God doesn't want you to have a revival in your family this week? Do you think God doesn't want you to be transformed? Do you don't think God wants you to start serving him in a very radical way, in an amazing way? God wants that for sure. And he will empower you by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. But see, this is the difficult things we often hear about, but we don't want to do. I see it in my own life, how difficult it is. I'm preaching to me first and foremost tonight. This is so difficult to change a little thing in your life. What about big things? You're not going to become Paul most probably overnight, but you can become a great, great man of God if you make little steps every day, every week, every month, every year. And you won't be the same 2 years from now. You will grow, and people will be blessed through your life and through your family. And may God bless us all. Amen. Then, thirdly, we need to stop waiting. And therefore, we need to keep our goal in mind. What is our goal as Christians? If someone asks you, you know, from a Christian perspective, what is your goal in life? What would you answer them? I would say it's becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, the word of God says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. Becoming more like Jesus Christ. How much of Jesus do you see in yourself? How much of Jesus does your family see in you? And most importantly, how much of Jesus does God the Father see in you? This is the message I'd like to leave you off tonight. Let's recap real fast. We need to wake up. People need to wake up. They need to wake up because apostasy is knocking at their door and it's becoming more and more enticing. People need to wake up from deception. That was the devil's business from the beginning until now, to deceive people. He deceived the first two people who lived on this planet, and he continues and desires to deceive people. Let's wake up and let's not be deceived. Even through ministry, even through service, even this can become an obstacle to you and to your life if you stop listening to the voice of the Lord. And then there is no time to lose. There is no time to lose because Christianity is more. It's much more than you might think right now. There is no time to lose, and therefore let's stop waiting for the magical moment. And let's keep our goal in mind, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day. May God help us all. Amen.